Saul is breathing threats and murder against Christians. Saul does not just dislike Christians or lack of toleration for them. He's hunting Christians. He gets his hunting license from the chief priests himself. Saul's plan is to find out who these Christians are, break them down, bind them, and then take them to Jerusalem as prisoners in a religious war. Saul believes that he is an agent of God to bring God and the world justice. Little does Saul know that Jesus is on his own hunt, breathing peace and life. Jesus' plan is to pursue sinners, all sinners. He wants to break them down in humility so he can lift them up. He wants to bind them with his love and his mercy so that they will know true freedom in the gospel. And so the resurrected Jesus pursues the pursuer. Jesus appears to Saul as a blinding light. Jesus knocks him off his high horse and off course so that he cannot do his evil deed. And so Saul is lying there on the ground, and Jesus tells him that when you mistreat Christians, you are mistreating the resurrected Lord himself. For we are the apple of his eye. So instead of binding Christians and carrying them to Jerusalem to drive out their faith in Jesus, Saul is bound by his own blindness. He's carried off by the hand, ironically, to Damascus. And there Jesus drives out his unbelief. Then Jesus appears to Ananias in a vision. And Ananias' question to Jesus points out his unbelief. Why Saul? Don't you know, Jesus, the one who knows all things, how much evil he has done to Christians in Jerusalem? You'll remember that Saul was there when Stephen was stoned to death. Ananias wonders why he should go and embrace somebody like Saul. Jesus tells Ananias that Saul will be a changed man. The good work that God began in Saul, he will bring to completion. Jesus tells Ananias, "Go, for he is an instrument of mine, whom I have chosen to bring my name before the Gentiles and kings and the people of Israel." Go, Ananias, meet Saul, for I will make that enemy of the gospel into a proponent of the gospel. I'll make the doubter of my power and the resurrection into a believer and a preacher of my power and authority. So doubting Ananias steps out, not by sight, but by faith, just as Saul does. He goes to Saul, and his first words are words of acceptance and faith in the resurrected Jesus and faith in Saul, whose life has been transformed. And he addresses him beautifully. He says, "Brother Saul." Ananias shares the same love, grace, and peace to Saul that God shares with him, being an instrument of God's peace. God chooses Saul's mouth to be his instrument, to preach the gospel. And God chooses Ananias' hands to be the healing instruments to cure Saul of his blindness. Both Saul and Ananias have to overcome their own doubts. So God challenges our unbelief with the story. A story about people in Damascus and in Jerusalem who are willing to suffer and risk their lives because of their faith in the resurrected Jesus. The story is about those who trusted in Christ, who died for the forgiveness of their sins and rose again for their eternal life. The story also challenges our unbelief that some people are too far gone for God to reach them. Who do you have in your mind that's too far gone to believe in Jesus? That's the one Jesus can pursue and capture. He wants us to boldly pray and be hopeful for even our greatest enemies and the greatest doubters that we know. To believe that God can transform even those who breathe threats and murder. Paul will later call himself, or Saul will later call himself, the least worthy. He'll call himself untimely born. He'll call himself the chief of sinners. And so God chooses all of us to be the instruments of his peace, his love, and his forgiveness. God uses Saul's mouth, Ananias' hands. He uses our feet, our ears, our eyes, our whole being to be the instruments of what God is doing in the world. And it shouldn't surprise us that Jesus chooses the weak, the doubters, and the notoriously sinful. This is the work of God. This story is the story of how the persecutor Saul is transformed into the apostle Paul. His changed name will be a constant reminder of how a transformed human being can happen by the power of God. At the end of our text, it says that Saul confounded the people. He perplexed them because of how powerfully he proved that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. He went to the same synagogues and preached that he sent the letter trying to arrest Christians. He became the instrument to bring Jesus' name that he was called to be. He not only realized that Christians are not liars, they're not delusional, they're not losers, but he realized that Christ indeed has risen from the dead. And not only that, he continues to raise the dead, overcome doubts with the truth, and free those who are in bondage to their breathing of threats and murder and sin. Our church's name is First Saint Paul's. We are named after a violent man, Saul, who was transformed into Saint Paul. Our call is the same as his. On the back of your bulletins, we are called to preach Christ, to nurture faith, and to serve others, that we are reminded every week. That was Saul's call to the Gentiles. We're called to be also chosen instruments of Christ, to carry his name also into the world. Jesus calls us to extend and share peace with good news to the world. And why does he choose us? Why did he choose Saul? Why did he choose Ananias? Why couldn't he have just written it in the sky and done his work without us? Perhaps we'll never know. But we should be encouraged because we have the privilege to participate just as Saul and Ananias did. This is not just a story of two people who are transformed by the gospel. It's the story and the picture of the purpose of Christ's church, the body of Christ, our purpose. God has chosen and gathered us together to share that same peace and that love and forgiveness to the world. And what a privilege and joy it is for us to be told, go, meet that person, believe that I can work in their lives, share the good news with them. Greater is he who is within you than he who is in the world. What a privilege and joy it is for us to understand how rich a diversity of people that he gathers. From every tribe, nation, tongue, and people. We are that community who shares Christ's peace just as Ananias did with Saul and Saul with the world. This is what God does. This is how we participate in his work. We're chosen instruments of Christ. God transforms our toxic breathing in of threats and murder and breathing out into the fresh and clean air of the gospel, the oxygenated word infused with the grace of God. We breathe it in and enrich ourselves, and we breathe it out and we enrich others. This is what it means to be chosen instruments, to be the lungs and the breath and the Spirit of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.